Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6:15. Paul speaking here. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, that is being a Jew, nor uncircumcision, that is being a Gentile, avails anything or matters, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, that rule of the new creation, in which being neither Jew nor Gentile avails anything, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Amen. God wants the world, the fourth part. You find here that Paul calls us the Israel of God. Now that comes with a blessing and a responsibility. We've said, as the Israel of God, we are blessed with justification by faith, but we also have a responsibility to proclaim that righteousness that orders to be justified. Now that is the basis of this teaching, that the blessing and the responsibility of Old Testament Israel has been transferred to the church. Now that responsibility is missions. Now so far we've examined the book of Acts together with the epistles to understand what they teach concerning missions. Now we've seen the approach of the early church towards missions as well as their message. Now the early church had a message which they understood to be the gospel. Now for that message to be true, it would have to be consistent with God's message right from the Old Testament. Are you following this? Remember, God has a message, right? He has a gospel right from the Old Testament. So I want to examine the message in the epistles in juxtaposition with God's ancient message right from the beginning. So you may put a subheading here. Does the Christian gospel differ from the one found in the Old Testament? So I want to find out. Does the Christian gospel differ from the one found in the Old Testament? I want to find out. Now the writer of Hebrews makes a bold claim in Hebrews 4 verse 2. Let's see that quickly. Please turn your Bible there. Hebrews 4:2. It says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Underline that, from us to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now the them here are the Jews in the Old Testament contextually. You see that chapter 3 speaks of how they could not receive God's promise because of unbelief. Hebrews 3 verse 16. Let's see that quickly. Hebrews 3:16, it says, for who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, on the line from all to Egypt, that is the Jews, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness, on the line from whose to wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey, on the line from those to obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Underline that, because of unbelief. So the message we believe upon for salvation was the same presented to the Jews in the Old Testament. Okay, the same message. Now if the writer of Hebrews is correct, then the Christian gospel is found in the Jewish scriptures. Do you follow that? But while we believe today, they did not do so in the Old Testament. So the message would be consistent. The gospel we find in the epistles would follow the same pattern from the Old Testament. Now it will reveal one God, man and God's relationship with him, man in sin and sin's penalty, and God's solution to the sin problem. So let's examine this one after the other and find out what the epistles teach concerning this. Let's see how the epistles follow this pattern. So in the Old Testament, we find God's message having four primary characteristics. It reveals one God, man, and God's relationship with that man. Okay, now man and sin, and sin's penalty, and God's solution to the sin problem. So now, beginning with one God. Hallelujah. One God. Now the epistles present a monotheistic message that there is just one God. Now there is one God and Father. One God and Father. Ephesians 4:6. Let's run through that quickly. Ephesians 4:6. It says, one God and Father of all. Underline that. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See 1 Timothy 2:5. Similarly there. 1 Timothy 2:5. It says, for there is one God. Underline that. One God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. See 1 Corinthians 8:4. Similarly there. 1 Corinthians 8:4. It says, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, but that there is no other God but one. Underline that, from there to one. And that is why the epistles warn against idolatry. Idolatry is blasphemous towards the one true God. It is to call what is made, that is, stones and wood, the maker. See 1 John 5:21. 1 John 5:21. It says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Underline that. Keep yourselves from idols. Amen. See 1 Corinthians 10:7. Similarly there. 1 Corinthians 10:7. It says, and do not become idolaters. Underline that. Do not become idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Look at verse 14 of that same chapter. It says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Underline that. Flee from idolatry. Before salvation, the sin of the Gentiles consisted mainly in idol worship. See Romans 1:23. It says, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. Underline that. Into an image. Referring to the Gentile people, made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves. 25 says, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Underline from worship to Creator. Who is blessed forever. Amen. For the Gentiles, salvation was turning from idols to God. See 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Turn your Bible there quickly. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Are you there? 1 Thessalonians 1:9. It says, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Underline from how to God, okay? In Galatians 5, Paul explains that idolatry is a food of the flesh, that is, the old man. See Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5:19. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. Underline that. Idolatry. Sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviles, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Underline from will to God. So the gospel in the epistles reveals just one God who alone is to be worshipped. See 1 Timothy 6:15. 1 Timothy 6:15. It says, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate. Underline from that potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Underline from two to power. Amen. Now next, man created by God and God's relationship with him. Okay, now the epistles teach God as the maker and sustainer of man. God is the maker and the sustainer of man. See James 3:9. It says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Online from man to God. You see that James alludes to Genesis chapter 1 here, verses 26 to 27. You may turn your Bible there quickly. Genesis 1 verses 26 to 27. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." 27. So God created man in his own image. When we went from God to image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So James affirms that this account is true. God indeed made man in his image. The writer of Hebrews also affirms Psalm 8 in Hebrews chapter 2. You may turn your Bible there quickly. Verses 6 to 8. Hebrews 2 verses 6 to 8. It says, "But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him," underline that, "you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet." Quoting here Psalm 8, 4-6, "For in that he has put all in subjection under him, he has left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. The man is therefore seen as God's very own creature in the epistles." God created and owns all things. Okay? He also sustains all things by his power. See 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6. God created and owns all things. He also sustains all things by his power. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6. It says, "Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things," underline that, "of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things," underline from "through" to "things," "and through whom we live," underline from "through" to "live." He made all that we see from nothing. See Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. It says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Paul also tells us that God put his revelation in nature all around man, so that man could come to know him. See Romans 1:20. Romans chapter 1 verse 20. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made," underline from "is to made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So God has always sought a relationship with man. He uses every means possible to do so. Hallelujah. Now next, men in sin and sin's penalty. Men in sin and sin's penalty. Now the epistles agree with the Old Testament that a man named Adam existed at the beginning. Now it was through this man, Adam, that sin entered the world. See Romans 5 verse 19. Romans chapter 5 verse 19. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience," underline that, "by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." Now the man here is Adam. Now because of Adam's sin, death entered into the world as a penalty for sin. See Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12. It says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin," underline that, "death through sin, and thus death spread to all men," underline from "death to man," "because all sin. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses," underline that, "from death to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come." See 1 Corinthians 15 verse 21. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 21. It says, "For since by man came death," underline that, "by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die," underline that, "in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Now sin brings death, okay, as a natural consequence. See Romans 6 verse 23. Sin brings death as a natural consequence. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Underline that. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man and sin is lost. Okay? In a dead state. See Ephesians 2:1. Ephesians 2:1. It says, and you made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Underline that. Dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the mind and of the flesh, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Now next, God's solution to the sin problem. God's solution to the sin problem. Now the God of the epistles is kind and merciful, not wanting any to perish. See 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, underline that, okay, but that all should come to repentance. See 1 Timothy 2:3. 1 Timothy 2:3. Similarly there, 1 Timothy 2:3. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, underline from all the saved, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Underline that, to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, in the epistles, God's solution for sin is the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Okay? The gospel of Christ. You find two major Greek words used in the epistles to describe the gospel. First of all, euangelion. 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 Which means good news or glad tidings. Good news or glad tidings. It is usually qualified as the gospel of Christ. That is, it speaks about what God did in Christ to rescue man from sin. That is the gospel of Christ. What God did in Christ to rescue man, to save man from sin. See Romans 1:16. Let's run through that quickly. Romans 1:16. Are you following this so far? Alright, thank you. Romans 1:16. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Underline that, the gospel of Christ, or the good news concerning Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation. Underline that. It is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. See Romans 15:19. Similarly there, Romans 15:19. It says, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Underline, the gospel of Christ. See 1 Corinthians 9:12. 1 Corinthians 9:12, then verse 18 of that same chapter. Okay. Verse 12, then verse 18. Beginning now with verse 12, it says, if others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Underline that, the gospel of Christ. See verse 18 of that same chapter. It says, what is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ. Underline that, the gospel of Christ, without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. See Galatians 1:7. Galatians 1:7. It says, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Underline that, the gospel of Christ. So it is usually qualified, do you see that there, of Christ. Now it is also called the gospel of God. Interestingly, the gospel of God, that is, it is God's own message. Do you follow that? That message finds its source or its origin in Him. Okay? The gospel finds its source or its origin in God. Romans 1:1. Let's see that quickly. The gospel finds its source or its origin in God. Romans 1:1. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Do you see that? Underline, the gospel of God, which He promised before through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. See 1 Thessalonians 2:2. Similarly there, 1 Thessalonians 2:2 says, "But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we're bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God." Underline that. The gospel of God in much conflict. Verse 9 of that same chapter, 1 Thessalonians 2, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God." Underline that. The gospel of God. See 1 Timothy 1:11. 1 Timothy 1:11. It says, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God." See that? "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God." Underline from that to God, "which was committed to my trust." Ephesians 1 verse 13 calls it the gospel of salvation. Okay, the gospel of salvation. It says, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Underline that. From that to salvation. "In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now the contents of this message is clear. There is a gospel, good news, and the contents of this message, this good message, is clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1. Let's see that quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel," or the good news, "on the line from I to gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain." Now 3, "For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins," underline that, "from Christ to sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried," underline that, "he was buried, and that he rose again," underline that, "he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures." So the gospel is that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised for the sins of men. Do you see that there? The gospel is that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised for the sins of men. Now, this message is how God saves a man from sin. The gospel. Romans chapter 10 verse 9. Let's see that quickly. Romans chapter 10 verse 9. Paul speaking here, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Underline that. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes on righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Underline that. Confession is made unto salvation. So by simply believing the gospel, a man receives salvation. Romans chapter 10 verse 11. It says, "For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Hallelujah. Verse 13 of that same chapter. "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Now the second word used to describe the gospel. The first is what? Evangelion. Okay, thank you. And the second is kerugma. K-E-R-U-G-M-A. K-E-R-U-G-M-A. The E after K accentuated. From keruso. K-E-R-U-S-S-O. The E after K accentuated. The last O also accentuated, which means to herald or announce a message publicly. To herald or to announce a message publicly. Now, kerugma refers to a proclamation, okay, or preaching of the gospel. Now, especially, note that, especially the essentials, okay, or fundamentals of the gospel, that is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. So, kerugma is an announcement of salvation. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21, let's see that quickly as we close. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21, it says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached," underline that, "the message preached," kerugma, that's that phrase, underline that, okay, "to save those who believe." See Titus 1 3, let's run through that quickly. Titus 1 3. Titus 1 3, it says, "But as in due time manifested his word through preaching," underline that, preaching, kerugma, "which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior." See Romans chapter 16 verse 25. Romans 16 verse 25. It says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching," underline that, preaching, kerugma, "of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations. You see that? And by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. In the epistles, sin is not just sinful actions. Do you follow that? Sin in the epistles is not just sinful actions, but a refusal. Are you here? A refusal to accept God's solution for sin, which is unbelief. Since Christ has already died for sins, man is simply to receive his sacrifice. Now the one who rejects the same rejects God's solution. He will perish in his sins. And that is why the epistles warn against the sin of unbelief. Unbelief is a big deal in the epistles. It is faith that pleases God. See Hebrews 11 verse 6. The writer of Hebrews speaking there, Hebrews 11 6. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Do you see that? Unlike from without him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now those who reject the gospel are called disobedient. Those who reject the gospel are called disobedient. Now the Greek word apetheo is used to describe them. A-P-E-I-T-H-E-O. A-P-E-I-T-H-E-O. The last O accentuated. Let's see how it is used. Romans chapter 15 verse 31. Please turn your Bible there quickly. I'll wait for you. Romans chapter 15 verse 31. Those who do not believe are called disobedient. It says that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. Underline that. Who do not believe. Apetheo. That's that word. Okay. Those who are disobedient, you can say, to the gospel. Who refuse to believe. And that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. See Acts chapter 19 verse 9. Acts chapter 19 verse 9. It says, and when some were hardened, underline that hardened, and did not believe, underline that did not believe, apetheo, that's that phrase, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, it departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of one Tyrannus. See Acts chapter 14 verse 2. Acts chapter 14 verse 2. It says, but the unbelieving, underline that, the unbelieving Jews, underline that, okay, apetheo Jews, you can say, that's that phrase there, stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Now, for the disobedient, they will all be condemned and destroyed. Okay? For the disobedient, they will all be condemned and destroyed. See 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 12 as we close gradually. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 12. It says, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you see that? They will be what? Condemned. See 2 Thessalonians 1 8. Similarly there. 1 8. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These, that is those who refuse to obey the gospel, who refuse to believe, shall be punished. Do you see that? With everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That word from, okay, could mean away from. But let's leave that for now, okay? Away from the presence of the Lord. Do you follow that? And away from the glory of his power. Do you get it? Okay? When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Those who do not obey the gospel can expect severe punishment. 1 Peter 4 verse 17 as we close. 1 Peter 4 verse 17. It says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Underline from word to God. These men, these disobedient men, these unbelieving men, followed the example of the men in Noah's day. Remember that? Who rejected his preaching. 1 Peter 3 verse 19. 1 Peter 3 verse 19. It says, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. I trust you understand what this means now, right? Okay. Who formerly were disobedient. Underline that. Who formerly were disobedient. When was the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, the line from waited to Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through fire. Now those men in Noah's days were destroyed by water. Now for these men who reject the gospel, their final judgment will be everlasting destruction by fire. Do you follow that? Therefore, the writer of Hebrews warns against unbelief. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. It says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. On the line from according to disobedience. So do you see that the epistles are consistent, right? In their message of salvation. Okay, it reveals what? One God, right? Man, his relationship with God, right? Man and sin, and the penalty for that sin, and God's solution in Christ. So God's solution to the sin problem is salvation found in Christ. And God's solution plan right from the beginning has been realized in Jesus the Christ. Men now have a responsibility to receive the same. Did you learn? All right, lift your hands, give him praise, thank him. We pick up from here.